Welcome to another episode of Vote Like a Texan. I'm excited to be sitting with Daniel Betts, who is running in Congressional District 21, which is a great district. It was formerly had Chip Roy there. He is retiring out of that role and running in a different race. So it has opened up quite the pool of candidates for us to talk about and talk to. I was thrilled to meet Daniel Betts out in Comfort, Texas, at Christmas in Comfort, and really liked a lot of the words, a lot of the things he was talking about. So, Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
What got you into politics and deciding to run for Congressional District 21?
Yeah, and it's crazy for me to think of myself as, I guess if I look myself up on Google, I'm a politician now, and I don't think of myself that way. I've never held political office. You know, I have been a delegate to the state convention once, and I used to live in Travis County before I lived in Dripping Springs, where I live now, and I ran in Travis County. I'm a criminal defense attorney. And I saw the prosecution system that we had in Austin being destroyed by this rogue Soros-backed district attorney, Jose Garza, that they had there. And no one was willing to step up and do something about it. And I am not the type of attorney who has my wins handed to me. You know, I go out and I get them. And so I wasn't concerned about going up against the man and ruining my deals or something like that, because I'm happy to go into trial and fight for my clients when I see government overreach. And so nobody else is willing to step up on the Democrat or the Republican side. And I don't have a history of being a prosecutor. Early on in my career, I thought I was going to be, before God called me to be a defense attorney, something I didn't understand at the time. But with the lawfare that we've seen against Republicans and Donald Trump in the last 10 years, I understand now why I was meant for that role. I'm a Christian. And Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, you know, there's three different servants. There's the servant who buried his talent and said, you know, I know you're a harsh master who, you know, reaps where he does not sow. And he was the wicked servant. And then there's the other two that, regardless of how much they were given, they went out there and they doubled it to give it back to the master. And God has given me a lot of different talents. And I don't say that to be self-aggrandizing or to be boastful, but actually to be humble, because it's not me, but he has given me those gifts, the gift of leadership, the gift of education. I'm a UT law educated lawyer. And before that, I was a University of Chicago educated organic chemist. He's put me in a position where I can influence people and I can make changes for this party to make us successful and to make conservative ideals successful in this country. I'm a relationship builder too, and that's something that we need. And so it became clear to me in discernment, especially when I ran for district attorney, that if I was going to be doing this, stepping into the public stage, that I needed to be making sure that my talents were going to be used as well as I could possibly make it. And when Chip stepped down, I had looked at that seat, but I thought that would be much farther in the future. I was surprised, like I think so many of us were, that he was leaving that seat. It's a plum seat. And the Hill Country is the most beautiful place, I think, on the planet, definitely in Texas, definitely in the United States. And to have the opportunity to represent that them, us, is something really special. And so I was preparing in that run in Travis County to take a stab at this. I just didn't expect it to be so soon. But when God, you know, made the call, and I feel a calling, you know, if you're asking me why, I feel a calling to do it. And every day I read the Bible with my boys. We've been going through chapter by chapter from Genesis. I know it's been going on years now, because we got to the book of Jonah when Chip announced on that day. The book of Jonah is a short 4-chapter book in the Minor Prophets. And after my wife's and my discernment prayer over the weekend, you know, you don't demand a sign, but you look for one. And it really felt like God was telling me, like, hey, Jonah had a calling and he tried to run away from it. Can you run away from this? And there were so many reasons that I could not do this. You know, I got a 7-month-old and 2 other boys that we are blessed to be able to homeschool out there on our 5 acres in Dripping. So there'd be plenty of reasons I could have said, you know, God, it's really not the right time right now. but I didn't feel like I could do that. And I felt like he was, and since then he's been opening doors left and right, introducing me to people like you, and influencers and people who can move the needle throughout the district. And I don't know what his plan is. I can never know that. But I do think that I am going to be our next representative for Congress for this district.
What have you learned as you've gone around the district and talked to constituents? What is the topic that will drive 2026 in the Hill Country?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple that I didn't think were so high on people's agenda when I first talked to them. But since, I say congressman, but representative is really what I prefer, because you need to be that conduit for people's concerns and their desires. It's a numinous task. It's a very, sacred thing that you're embarking on. And so when people bring these things to me, I owe it to them to educate myself about them, about those things. And so there's a couple that spring to mind. Election integrity is a big one. The battery energy storage system projects here in the Hill Country, that's another big one. And the danger that people see those, because those are big lithium ion batteries, you know, sometimes the size of a football field, that are going in on our grid. And they're really only going in because of our failure to invest in nuclear and because of the subsidies that have allowed for wind and gas to be so prolific across our district and in areas where we could be using that land, I think, to better use. And they wouldn't be there if it weren't for those subsidies, because the market says that they shouldn't exist. And that's why the subsidies are necessary to make them happen. So that's another big one. The rise of, or what I would call the Islamification of Texas, and figuring out what we need to do to halt that, and to stop Sharia law from entering our communities, to stop communities from being able to be created and cordoned off from our laws so that violations of our laws can be occurring in there. Those are some big ones that have come up. And of course, water, how to deal with, not just our lack of water, but sometimes we live in a monsoonal climate. Sometimes we get a lot, and that's before anybody's messing with the weather, which I tell you, before I ran, I thought that geoengineering was a complete joke and I thought it was for tin foil hats, but I don't know if I've fully been red-pilled on it, but I'm starting to come around and realize that there may be something there. And any one of those, I mean, I could talk about those that we don't have enough time, but those are the issues that I've been seeing coming up with people.
Well, and that's an interesting spectrum of feedback from the community. There is a push for conservation. There's a push for how do we handle growth with the water needs of growth.
Absolutely.
And then finally, my question is about economic development in the Hill Country and in this part of Texas.
Yeah.
What do you see that looking like as you go into a campaign?
So I'm a constitutional conservative, so I believe in limited federal government involvement. I think that that's what our founders intended when they created the Commerce Clause. The Commerce Clause has gotten out of control at this point. And if you listen to what the Supreme Court has said in cases like Gonzalez v. Raich, there's nothing that the feds can't put their fingers in. The Commerce Clause doesn't mean anything now. It means that, well, yeah, anything theoretically affects state commerce, interstate commerce. And so it's a major problem. And so I have to be careful. A lot of my opponents will promise the world. And so I'm a free market economist. And so I want to identify ways that the federal government and control from afar is causing issues here. And so economic development for me means getting rid of things like income taxes, moving to a consumption tax model, things like that. And there's originally income tax is not constitutional. We needed the 16th Amendment to make it constitutional. I want to get back to the principles of our founding fathers. And I think that republic, not democracy, republic, that they envisioned is the thing that makes economic prosperity happen. I think that there are big things that will be coming to this district. And, you know, I've talked with outside investors, people who are excited to put projects here that will bring major increases in production to agriculture and related things like that. And so I can't stress enough what a gem the Hill Country and the nine counties that I will represent are, the amazing things that are in store for us in the future that I want to be a part of. Did I lose you? Can you hear me?
No, that's me. March 3rd, we have a crowded field. How do we get those nine counties to really turn out and vote? Because you're going to have to go through primaries March 3rd. The possibility of a runoff would be May.
Not the possibility. Nope. There's going to be a runoff.
There's going to be a runoff.
Yes,
absolutely. And then in November, you're going to finally have the election. And I'm concerned that not everybody understands. You have to show up three times to support you.
Oh, it's true.
And I want to make sure that we have that turnout, because at those same times, you're making decisions for who you're going to support in the primary. And that's your commitment to who you're going to vote for in November, essentially.
Yeah.
And then you go into the May elections, and there's a lot of local elections that happen around that, that I just see lower turnout when
you're
it's
absolutely
not.
Absolutely correct. By a factor of about five, we expect there to be a lower turnout in May. So we've got March 3rd, big date. May yep. 26th is another big one. That's the runoff. And yes, November, that's true. This is a plus 11, plus 12 district. So unless I or whoever the nominee is does something crazy like die, they're going to be the next representative for this district. And so March and May are absolutely the important ones. And you're right. March 3rd, a lot of people come out on March 3rd for the Republican primary, and good Republicans. But there is a different segment of Republican voters that make it out for, and a smaller subset primarily, for the May 26th runoff. This is, if we look back historically to 2018 when Chip was running unopposed, there were 18 in that field. And we'll know by yeah. December 8th, which is another major date, how many there will be in this field. 14 is what it says. I think that a few of those will see the writing on the wall, and you hear kind of at some of these events, like the event I saw you at last night, people say, we're running a grassroots campaign. Now, what that means, that doesn't mean that they have the support of the grassroots. It means that they don't have money. And right. unfortunately, in a race like this, and I hate this, it's terrible, but you need money to get to these voters. You know, there's some over half a million people that you need to be talking to. Who could be your voters, and you cannot get to all of them. You can't every day convince one person to convince five people to convince five people. Even that's not going to be enough. And so what this race comes down to, if you're actually being realistic and you don't have advisors who are lying to you to get you to pay them some of your hard-earned money, is that you need donors and people who are supporting your cause, because those donors give you dollars and those dollars give you eyeballs. I don't know if you've seen, the serious ones are sending out text messages, and oh my goodness, do we hate text messages? I know these days we'll be getting political text messages. Sometimes it feels like you get 50 in a day. And especially the ones asking for money are really annoying. Vivek, please stop texting me. I don't know if you get the same ones, but, those do move the needle. They give you the name recognition yeah. that you need. And primarily, what do people vote on? They vote on, do I know this guy's name and how do I feel about him? And I really wish that that weren't the case, but that comes down to dollars. And so I want to talk about specifics in this race. This race is going to be a runoff, and we've got a bunch of serious Republicans in this race, people with bona fides. And then we have a few that have, and I'll highlight one, this ex-Yankee ball player, Mark Teixeira. Mark has never voted in a Republican primary. He doesn't live in the district. And he had an opportunity to be a Texan and to stay in Texas, but he chose not to. He turned down a $140 million 8-year contract to go to the literal New York Yankees. And he wants to come down here and carpetbag in this district. People in the district aren't having it. And so what he has done is he has decamped now to his Austin residence, and he is going to rely on his own money to buy this race with low information voters. It's not a bad strategy. Unfortunately, he's going to need to do it outright in the primary because there's a different set of Republican voters that come out in the runoff. And that is where I expect to beat him, is in the runoff. I think it's going to be me and him, he and I should say, who come out of the primary. And then I'm going to beat him in the runoff, and I'm going to be our next representative. We're number two in terms of dollars raised, right behind him. And he's going to have a hard race on his hands, and he's not going to be able to pull a Biden and sit in his basement.
Well, I appreciate the perspective, the enthusiasm, and the confidence. Where can people find you, and what should they be looking for as they go into March 3rd?
Yeah, so Betts for Texas, my last name, BETTS. We say bet on Daniel Betts, it'll pay out big. And Betts for Texas is my website. That's how you can find me on social media, on all of them, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Betts for Texas. You can make a donation at my website, and I can't tell you how thankful I would be if you were willing to do that. A thing that I haven't gotten a chance to talk about here, and that I'm always not reluctant to, but I don't want it ever to be performative. I guess I talked a little bit about it, is my relationship with Jesus Christ and how I want to take that with me to Washington. This job will change anyone who goes there, and that's why I think term limits are so important. I only intend to give you 6 years. And I want you to go back and put this clip in my face if 6 years down the road I think about running again, because I will be wrong to run for that race again 6 years from now. I don't think that that's what our founders intended, and I need to bring those talents and those gifts back here. And I think that the only thing that may be able to prevent me from being changed by that is my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I intend to take that with me there. I am a relationship builder, and it is based on that relationship that is my foundation that I'm able to do that. I intend to bring this country together and to represent everyone in this district. And those are the things to focus on. Somebody who's an actual leader, somebody who doesn't just throw around talking points, but when the rubber meets the road, how they conduct themselves and what they're capable of doing as a leader in this position.
Well, Daniel Betts, thank you so much for your time today. We
Thank you
look
for
forward to
having me.
seeing you out on the campaign trail.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. I really appreciate it.